generation of settlements. The walls were the polished stone of Mars, covered with a clear, insulative ceramic that was starting to bubble and gray with age. The light was a construction lantern, the burning white of the LED softened and made ruddy by Lily's paisley silk scarf draped over it. They sat on metal crates in the cold. Hutch scratched at the scars on his wrist.
"Don't let it choke you, little man," Hutch said.
It was an old joke between them. David's family were Polynesian before they were Martian, and between genetics and growing up at barely over a third of Terran G, David was over 2 meters tall and leaning toward pudgy.
"Just say what it is. You got a bad batch, right?"
"No, nothing like that. The batch is fine. It's just my Aunt Bobby's come to live with us for a while. She's always at the place now. Always. Anytime I get home, she's there." Hutch frowned and tilted his head. Lily put her arm around his shoulder, draping herself close to the man. Hutch shrugged her back, but not off.
"She knows you're cooking?"
"She doesn't know anything," David said. "She just lifts weights and watches video feeds all day."
"Lifts weights?" Hutch asked.
There was an undercurrent of amusement in his voice that made David's guts unknot. He risked a glance at the thin man's tea-brown eyes.
"She used to be a Marine."
"Used to be?" "Something weird happened. She sort of quit."
"So, not a Marine anymore. And now what is she?"
"Just a fucking inconvenience," David said. He took a little joy in the profanity. Hell and damn were the worst language tolerated in the Draper house. Fuck would have gotten him yelled at. Worse than that would be unthinkable. "The batch is fine, but it's going to be harder to get the next one done. I can't do any of the prep work at home now." Hutch leaned back, his laughter filling the air. Lily's face relaxed, all the little worry lines vanishing back into the eggshell smoothness of her skin.
"Shit," Hutch said. "You had me thinking there was trouble for a minute there. Thought I was going to have to tell my people that my best cook fell down."
David picked up his satchel, fumbled through it, and came out with a rattling plastic jar. Hutch took it, cracked the seal, and poured 4 or 5 of the small pink lozenges into his hand, then passed one to Lily. She popped it in her mouth like it was hard candy. "The 2,5-dimethoxy-4N-propylthiophenylethylamine was a serotonin receptor agonist that broke down into, among other things, a 2,5-desmethoxy derivative that was a monoamine oxidase A inhibitor. The euphoric effects would start to tighten Lily's joints and lift her mood in the next half hour. The hallucinations wouldn't kick in for an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and then they'd last her through the night." She rattled the lozenge across the back of her teeth with her tongue, grinning at him. David felt the first stirrings of an erection and looked away from her.
"You do good work, little man," Hutch said, taking out his hand terminal.
The small chime meant the transfer was done. David's secret account had a little more money in it. Not that he was in this for the money.
"Now, this ante thing. What's it going to do to your schedule?"
"I've still got the lab at school," David said. "I can sign up for more time there. Seniors get preference, so it won't be too hard. It's just..."
"Yeah, no," Hutch said. "Better we play safe. You tell me how much time you need to make the next batch, that's how much time you can take."
"I'm thinking a couple weeks at least," David said.
"Take them. They're yours," Hutch said, waving his scarred hand. "We're in this for the long haul, you and me. No reason to get greedy now."
"Yeah." The thin man stood up. David was never sure how old Hutch really was. Older than him and Lily, and younger than David's parents. That gulf of years seemed to fill infinite possibilities. Hutch shrugged on his dust-red overcoat and pulled his brown knit toque out of a pocket, flapped it once like he was whipping the air, and pulled it down over white blonde hair. Lily stood up with